6 seconds left. Hallett gets it up top. Marchessault to the right. Big shot! Score! Shai Theodore! Vegas takes the lead 4-3! 2.3 to go! Perron to the circle. He shoots and scores! David Perron wins it! Up top for Kopitar. Feet to the right. Shot! Stopped by Fleury!
Shai Theodore is fourth and a huge hit by McNabb. He leveled Arvidsson. Wow.
Here's Howell into the zone. Howell left side, drop pass, big shot, score! It's John Merrill! Merrill puts Vegas on top, 2-1!
And welcome in Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Clayton Hamilton, Frank Harnish, Chris Chapman behind the board, and listening to the wonderful goal call where John Merrill comes and saves the day against Pittsburgh. Almost had that moment last night. It was not meant to be. Golden Knights fall 5-4 to Pittsburgh. And Frank, a very emotional day. Lots of ups, lots of downs.
Emotional day, lots of ups and downs. It was kind of a roller coaster of a game. Started out really high, then it plummeted down, then it started crawling the mountain back up, but just couldn't quite get to the peak. Maybe John Merrill was the missing piece that wasn't there last night for him.
Yeah, I miss John Merrill. We haven't seen him in quite some time.
Yeah, good guy and a good hockey player, and hopefully he will be back soon. But things are still going well for the Vegas Golden Knights. They've got 3 wins, 2 losses on this road trip, 1 more to go. They win the game, it's a very successful road trip. If they don't win in San Jose, it's still a successful road trip, but you certainly want to get at least 1 point out of it. Obviously, you want the 2 points. Keep those sharks behind us, let them swim up on us, but as long as they just don't quite get there.
And even in loss last night, the Sharks did lose 3-1 to Colorado, so no ground gained. Another day ticks off the clock, and that in and itself is a win.
Yeah, definitely. So, and again, there's other teams. Right now, I know the Sharks and their fan base are looking at the Vegas Golden Knights being in front of them. They better also make sure that they keep their rearview mirror intact because there's a lot of teams right behind them.
There are. But getting bunched up there in the 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 slots in the Pacific Division, really all around the NHL, tight races everywhere, Frank.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that they wanted. The NHL wanted parity. They, some people call it, getting the bonus point or getting the cheap point in overtime if you get there or whatever. Well, that's the way it's been for a while, and I like the overtime. I know some people aren't the biggest fans of the way it's done, but you get a point there. It used to be years ago they would end a game in a tie. I kind of like that there isn't a tie. Give the bonus point for getting that win, whether it's 3-on-3 or a shootout, whatever. At the end, 16 teams make the playoffs, so I don't think anybody's got a legitimate gripe if they don't get in there because they missed it by a point or they didn't have enough wins and the other team had more wins than them. Well, guess what? There should be a reward for wins.
There should be a reward for wins. I was okay with the tie. Wouldn't mind if we went back to it, but don't think that's ever going to happen.
I don't think it's ever going to happen either because people like the 3-on-3. People love the shootout aspect of it. We even see it in the All-Star game. And the bottom line is when it really counts and the playoffs start, then they do away with that kind of stuff. Kind of like doing away with the tiebreaker in tennis for the major tournaments. The majors, you keep on playing until somebody wins the set. In hockey, you get rid of the 3-on-3 in the shootout and you play until somebody wins the game.
You do play that, and one of the guys that loves that is William Karlsson. William Karlsson got off to a hot start last night. He got his 28th goal. He has been so good this year, Frank.
No, he hasn't been good. He's been absolutely great, especially what they considered of him or what most people thought of him coming in. Nobody saw this coming. Obviously, Gerard Gallant and George McPhee, they thought that he could do a little bit more. McPhee for choosing to pick him in the expansion draft, Gallant putting him with some very good players, figuring that he would be a good fit on that line. They expected bigger numbers from him, but nobody at this point of the season had him with 28 goals, leading the team in the goals scored. I mean, he's been absolutely incredible. And the thing is, they're still, even though we're deep into the season now, they're still getting more comfortable and everything else. Bigger and better things could be on the horizon for him.
And thanks to our friends at Brinkus Team Realty, who sponsor the player of the game. William Karlsson was that player. Your player of the game brought to you by Brinkus Team Realty. Your home sold, guaranteed, William Karlsson.
Rob Rowdy. Theodore to move it in front. Karlsson to redirect and a save, Murray. William Karlsson with a good chance. Now shot score! Karlsson from the left wing circle fires it in, and the power play added again for Vegas. 2:09 into the game.
2:09 into the game, and things are off to a fantastic beginning.
Yeah, and usually when Vegas gets that first goal, they are lights out. They've been incredible this season. They get the goal. It's a power play goal. Only 2 minutes in, Marc-Andre Fleury and the team can kind of settle down a little bit, settle into the game. We know it's an emotional night there. But, of course, you do have a team on the other side that doesn't think the game is even close to being over at that point, and certainly it wasn't. But then when they got that second goal, you kind of had a feeling that it was going to be a good night for Vegas. But, unfortunately, somebody forgot to tell Pittsburgh that to be a good host, you should be gracious and not score five consecutive goals on the man of the night.
Yeah, exactly. And so the game started well. The ending of the game was well. It's that middle section things got away from the Golden Knights, but you think about a night where five goals are given up by the goaltender, and yet he still played a pretty good game.
Yeah, and you know, you using that description of it just made me flashback to myself these days, you know. The head's still okay, thanks to Dr. Smith and the people that have put me back together. My feet and legs are fine. It's that middle section that just messes me up all the time. it's an absolute nightmare.
Oh, Frank. Yeah, you're doing great. We are so glad that you're back with us, happy and healthy and full of life and vigor, which is always fun to have you around.
I am still here, but I do need to work on that middle section just like the Golden Knights needed to last night.
Don't we all? Well, our play of the game did come from the man of the night, from Marc-Andre Fleury. The play of the game sponsored by Best Mattress. Best mattress, best service, best selection, best price guaranteed, Marc-Andre Fleury.
Try to dump it in, blocked by Malkin, and he'll chip it ahead up the right wing side, connects to Kessel, 2-on-1. Kessel right circle, feeds the middle, backhand, glove stop, Fleury! Oh my! Vintage Marc-Andre Fleury!
Great call by Dan Duva and Carl Hagelin. Poor fella, robbed multiple times by Marc-Andre Fleury, but that one, the cream of the crop.
Yeah, and he did make some big saves in that game. If you didn't see the game, watch it again. Marc-Andre Fleury played well, certainly in spurts. He stopped Hagelin, like you mentioned, a couple times. He stopped Crosby from getting his 400th. He stopped Malkin on a breakaway, did a poke check away. He faced a lot of odd man Fleurys. He stopped the majority of them. But unfortunately, he faced like 38 shots in the game, and when you're facing that many shots, well, sometimes eventually some of them are going to get through, and they went through a stretch there where he might have had one or two that he would like to have back, but there was a few of those goals that where he literally had no shot whatsoever.
Yeah, no shot at all when you think about the goals 4 and 5, the one by Malkin on the breakaway, the one by Kessel right at the corner of the net. Just too much to ask of Marc-Andre Fleury, but I'm sure he was happy to have the night. He was happy to have the tribute, happy to go through all of it, return to Pittsburgh. But it's got to be a huge relief for this game to finally be off of the calendar.
Yeah, and you know, the one thing that, and it was a great tribute and everything, and we're going to hear about that in just a minute here, but the one thing that we really didn't get to see that I would love to see, and maybe there's some video of it someplace, I haven't been able to find it yet, but he also received a Stanley Cup ring yesterday. So he got that before the game in a ceremony with some of the Pittsburgh front office people, Mario Lemieux and other people hanging around. So that was obviously an exciting time for him as well. And there's a picture of him. Looks like a pretty darn nice ring. I just can't wait to see what the one for Vegas looks like to see how that compares with the Pittsburgh ones.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. I think it'll be one of those that goes across all four of your fingers with the entire strip on it, like one of those, like almost like brass knuckle rings.
You know, maybe. You know, maybe. I mean, he's only got one finger left on hand for one, so maybe he'll have to put that on the other one, where the three from Pittsburgh, but the Vegas one will still outshine it, because Vegas does like to do things a little bit big, neon-y, and glitzy sometimes.
Well, Marc-Andre Fleury was the man of the night, and thanks to our friends at AT&T Sportsnet for putting together this tribute.
This game has a special meaning because former Penguin goaltender Marc-Andre Fleury returns to play for the first time here in Pittsburgh in another uniform.
Marc-Andre Fleury, three-time Stanley Cup champion, with nearly 400 career wins and the backstopping foundation this expansion team would be built upon. Tonight, Fleury returns to Pittsburgh, back to where it all began 14 seasons ago.
It's really hard to describe all the things that Marc-Andre Fleury has done for the Penguin organization, its fan base, and of course, this city. Well, tonight, he'll be welcomed back with open arms, just like a true Pittsburgher should be.
It is one of the most highly anticipated regular season games in Pens history, and certainly promises to be a very emotional night for the Pens all-time leader in wins.
Merci, and welcome back, three three-time Stanley Cup champion, number 29, Marc-Andre Fleury.
Just one of the many tributes given to Marc-Andre Fleury last night, not just from the Pittsburgh organization, AT&T Sportsnet, Root Sports, Pittsburgh, but for all of the fans that posted things for him on YouTube and throughout social media.
Yeah, and you could hear at the very end of it there when the crowd was standing and cheering, you could hear the Fleury chants. And that sounded really cool, and it is really cool. But if you haven't seen the video, Google it, YouTube it, whatever you need to do. Check it out, because the video that goes along with it is even cooler. Seeing the stuff where he literally jumps out of a gym bag of one of his team at the feet of one of his teammates, the saves that he made and everything. Just absolutely an iconic player. And it would not completely surprise me if someday, and I know Pittsburgh's had a lot of great players, if someday maybe that 29 jersey was retired in Pittsburgh. I don't know if they'll do that or not, but he did win three Stanley Cups with them, and arguably the greatest goalie in their history and one of the greatest of all time, maybe when it's all said and done.
And there's a lot of tributes on YouTube that fans have put together as well that shows different highlights and different saves and different music in the background, but all pretty cool stuff if you go and search that. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. Clayton Hamilton, Frank Harnish, Chris Chapman behind the board, and it wasn't just the front office and the fans that were glad to have him back in the building. His old teammates were as well. Sidney Crosby spoke eloquently of his time and his love of Marc-Andre Fleury.
Pretty tight game, I think, you know. Both teams didn't give up a ton. You know, there's some, you know, good saves from both goalies, but no one really kind of dominated the zone time. Zone time was kind of back and forth. So, you know, good for us to climb back in it there when it wasn't looking good for a while. And, you know, we were down a couple. So, yeah, big second, and then followed up with a big third.
Can you speak to just the emotion of the night?
Yeah, I mean, it's just an incredible ovation. And you don't want to say you ever expect that. You don't see it very often. But that being said, you knew it was going to be a warm welcome, and you know, just you know, happy for Flower. I knew it was probably one he's circling on his calendar, and you know, it was good for us to get big 2 points.
What was it like just seeing him in this building and playing against you here versus Vegas? Was it any different or about the same?
Yeah, it's a little different, but I mean, you know, we're a little bit further into the season, and you know, just it's a little different when it's here at home. But you know, I think having one game already probably helped a little bit with that kind of thing. And once you get out there, you're trying to win a game, and he's doing the same thing. So yeah, I think it was an important game, but obviously, you know, with Flower coming in, it added a lot of emotion.
The first shift, you got a little bit of a tip on.
Yeah, just
extra emotion there, extra feelings.
No, I would love to score. I mean, you know, it's just, I thought he was going to be a little bit more aggressive, and, you know, he was pretty patient there and made a good save. But, you know, there was some chances there, but, you know, he competes hard, and, you know, you've got to be at your best if you want to beat him.
Yeah. A little bit of a unique situation. You have all of the, you know, pageantry and everything in the highlights, and then everything almost seemed to kind of settle down after that, even after the first period, and then it just kind of settled into more rhythm.
Yeah, that's to be expected. That's the way it usually goes. I mean, there's a lot of different emotions for guys and for him the most. So, yeah, I think that you know, both teams played pretty hard for teams that, you know, don't usually see each other, and they don't give up a lot. So you got to fight for your ice out there, and we did a good job of, you know, continuing to do that, and, you know, finally getting rewarded basically halfway through the game.
Penguins captain Sidney Crosby trying to put everything into perspective last night, the emotion versus the reality of a hockey game in which both teams wanted 2 points.
Yeah, and you know, you know that the questions are coming, and sometimes I give these players a lot of credit for not just kind of laughing out loud sometimes about asking about, you know, when Fleury stopped him or that, and basically saying, like, were you happy for him or something? And it's like, no, I want to score. Right. I mean, yeah, I like the guy. we were brothers through some Stanley Cups, but no, I want to score. We wanted to beat him every chance out there. When Hagelin made that save, and you just, or when Fleury made the save on Hagelin, and you heard the call by Dan Duva there, Hagelin wasn't happy for Marc-Andre Fleury that he made the save. Maybe if it was at the practice arena last year, he would have been and said, wow, you really shut me down there. In the game, you want to score.
Right, you want to score. And you wonder what the emotions were for a guy like Matt Murray, who was sort of taken under the wing of Marc-Andre Fleury, had to face him on the other side, a guy that doesn't have those moments like Sidney Crosby on the ice with scoring and knob, a guy that has most of his moments off the ice, on the bench, on the bus with Marc-Andre Fleury. And Matt Murray took to the mic last night and talked about last night's game and Marc-Andre Fleury.
Yeah, I mean, it was what I think everybody expected it to be. It was emotional. It was pretty free-flowing game. They're a really good team. You know, they're tough to play against. So we had to, you know, give it our best to get the 2 points.
Matt, did you allow yourself to watch the tribute, or you just try to put your head down and stay in the game?
No, I watched a little bit of it, yeah. Those are always fun to watch, especially, you know, they bring back some good memories of the last 2 years. And especially for a guy like Flower, that's that was a big part of, you know, my development. He was a really good friend and mentor to me. So, yeah, that's something special that, you know, you're only going to get to see that once. So, yeah, I definitely allow myself to enjoy it.
How nice is it to see the reaction, just kind of the welcome that he got?
Yeah, it was great. You know, we knew it was going to happen. He's, you know, well liked. Obviously, everybody loves Flower for good reason. So, like I always say, he deserves every, you know, every bit of appreciation that he gets.
Was there any conversation on the bench, or I mean, you're not on the bench, but just around the team about, you know, staying in this? You guys are down 2-0. There's tribute videos, and you guys just kept your wits about you very well.
Yeah, that's always our game plan. No matter what happens, it's about the next shift. That's what we always say, and you know, we say it for a reason. That's, you know, that's what we really focus on with this group. I don't think we're ever out of a game, no matter what the score is. So we showed that tonight, coming back from 2 goals down against, you know, a really, really good team too. So I think that's a really good win.
When you guys get on one of those rolls where you're scoring, you know, 3 goals in 8 minutes, 2 goals in 5 minutes, do you ever sort of put yourself in the shoes of the guy at the other end? Like, how would you deal with a situation like that? And I'm sure it was
good. Yeah, no, it can't be easy going against us, especially when, you know, certain guys are playing the way they are. So, to be honest, I don't really want to find out. It's fun to watch on this end, though, for sure. So, you know, it's something that becomes normal around here. And we have so many good players in this room. And I say it all the time, we all feel so lucky to be a part of this team and get to watch some of these guys. They're just so special and some of the best, you know, ever to play the game. So, growing up as a kid, you dream of an opportunity to play with guys like this. So it's pretty cool.
It was the voice of Matt Murray, goaltender of the Pittsburgh Penguins, reflecting on last night and his buddy Marc-Andre Fleury.
Yeah, and you could kind of see him before the game to get through there a little bit. My favorite part of that interview, and I don't know if you guys caught it or not, because we're all in the media and we all make mistakes, and sometimes when you're there asking a question live, you get a little tongue-tied or don't realize what you're asking. But one of the guys started asking him what the feeling was on the bench when they were down 2-0, if they could get back in the game. And as soon as he said, what was it like on the bench? And Murray kind of gave him a look, and then he realized, oh, wait, you're the goalie. You weren't on the bench during the game. So he kind of changed it in mid-stride there. But at first, Murray was kind of looking like, dude, I'm on the ice. I don't know what the guys were talking about on the bench.
Right. That's the loneliest position, and nothing more evident of that than during the tribute last night when everyone did go to the bench, including Matt Murray during the TV timeout, and Marc-Andre Fleury sort of left all by himself, standing there just with the net to hold on to as 16,000 people shared that moment with him.
And, you know, it's interesting, too, for a guy who doesn't seek the spotlight at all, Marc-Andre Fleury has certainly found himself in the spotlight an awful lot in his life, and certainly an awful lot this season. For a guy who doesn't necessarily enjoy it and doesn't seek it out, he's very gracious and very humble and very deserving of it. So I just hope the spotlight continues to shine on him. I hope the Golden Knights continue to win. And I know there was a lot of talk at the start of the season, well, you know, Fleury's going to be the face of the season, but he's not going to be around here very long. I hope Marc-Andre Fleury is here in Las Vegas for a long, long time.
And he may very well be. Well, he'll be back in town this weekend. Just one more game left on the road trip. And we will have that for you on Thursday night, 7 o'clock for the pregame, 7:30 for puck drop as the road trip concludes in San Jose, and then back for 7 at home starting Sunday at 5 o'clock against Philadelphia at T-Mobile Arena. And we will have some tickets for that later on in the hour, so be sure to hang around and get your chance at those. When we come back, Frank and I are going to look around the league and then look ahead towards the trade deadline. Some names are starting to surface. We will go through them right here on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley.
Around to the left side goal line. Marchessault, quick stick, Carlson score! William Carlson, and Vegas strikes first. His wrist shot got blocked, gets his own rebound, goes up to the circle, feeds the middle, and a turnaround shot score! James Neal on the backhand, and Vegas takes a 2-0 lead. Belmar dumps it in for Vegas. Tuck and Carpenter quickly buzz in after it. Belmar a steal. Tuck out in front alone. He shoots. Save Murray. Rebound score! Ryan Carpenter. And the Golden Knights answer right back. Here's Marchessault. Left goal line shooting. He got it through. Is it in? He thinks that it is. Yes.
It's a goal.
It is a goal. He knew it. The referee didn't point, the light didn't go on. Marchessault has scored.
And welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on a Wednesday, getting ready for the last game of the road trip tomorrow in San Jose. Pregame show, 7 o'clock, puck drop at 7:30. Frank and I will be at Parkway Tavern 215 in Flamingo on tomorrow's game. So come on by, say hello, enjoy the evening. Always a fun time at the Parkway Tavern. And Frank, there is a lot of news happening around the NHL, some of it just breaking. Out of Minnesota, Jonas Brodin, the defenseman, going to be out 3 to 4 weeks after having hand surgery today.
Yeah, and that's probably not good news for the Minnesota Wild, who are struggling right now. They play really good like they did last night, like they did against Vegas. Then they have games where they just play really bad. They've really been up and down. It's kind of been feast or famine with this team, it seems like, a lot of the season. And injuries are something that you never want, especially when you're struggling and trying to find that stride and consistency the way it is. And that has really been the Minnesota Wild season up to this point.
Montreal Canadiens have certainly had their trouble, but a little bit of help is on the way as defenseman Shea Weber skated before practice today. It was the first time that he's been on the ice since December 16th because of a right foot injury.
Yeah, and Shea Weber is certainly a quality player. I still don't understand to this day why the Nashville Predators made that trade with P.K. Subban and Shea Weber. I thought Nashville absolutely got the best of that deal. I mean, I understand why Nashville did it. I don't understand why Montreal did it. Shea Weber's a good player. I don't think he's nearly as good as P.K. Subban. There was all sorts of talk about locker room stuff, this, that, and the other. What's true, what's not, I don't know. But they went with Shea Weber, and he's a good player. But they have a lot of problems there. It's not just him, but he will be a big piece missed. And another quality defenseman now in front of Carey Price to make his job even more difficult. And Carey Price hasn't exactly been the Carey Price of old this year in a lot of the games already.
We'll be certainly be glad to have him back. Unsure when he's going to crack into the lineup again. The Canadiens' next game is Thursday against the Flyers. More defensemen injured. New York Islanders' Scott Mayfield is expected to miss at least 4 weeks because of a lower body injury. He was injured blocking a shot by P.K. Subban.
Yeah, and we talk about it all the time. I mean, I admire the guys for blocking shots, but every time when I see somebody block a shot, especially when it's with the ankle or the exposed part of the knee or something like that, you wonder, like, you hope that the guy skates off the ice. Sometimes they just kind of rub it down and it gets better. And I know they're all tough players because they're hockey players and they all have to be tough. But there's a lot of injuries. And these guys crank it up and they rifle it so fast these days. And but everybody's always trying to get in front of the lane. And it's good and you get the attaboys and the pat on the backs when you do it. But sometimes discretion is a better part of valor. If you leave yourself too exposed out there, you can miss a substantial amount of time. This, again, is a loss for a team that, isn't really looking for any losses right now. The Islanders, one of those teams that are kind of bouncing back and forth trying to figure out what's going on and if they are a playoff team or not, this is something that will hurt them.
He was placed on injured reserve today. They also have injuries to Johnny Boychuk and Calvin DeHaan on the blue line. So lots of guys out of action. And we would expect that Alexander Burrows going to be out of action as well for the Senators. He had himself a fracas against the New Jersey Devils and Taylor Hall yesterday. He's been called before the player safety board.
He's been called in front of them, and he declined the offer to make an appearance in front of them. He said, no, you know what? I did it. You have the video. He's going to do a conference call with them. They will actually contact him on the telephone. He's not going to fly there to talk to him because he basically knows he's in for what could be a lengthy suspension. I will be shocked if this is not more than 5 games for what he did. But he was angry. He did what he did. And it kind of seems like he's not really sorry about it. I guess if you're going to do that to a team, do it when you're an Ottawa Senator this year because it's not like your team's really going anywhere.
Yeah, he got into a little shoving match that turned into a two-point takedown from behind, a punch to the back of the head, and then a couple of knees to the back of the head.
Yeah, Taylor Hall gave him a hit, which he did not like whatsoever. They kind of went at it a little bit in front of the net. The net got knocked off, so play was stopped. A couple other guys got in Taylor Hall's face, and you saw Burrows just standing by the side of the net, seething, and all of a sudden Hall kind of skated away from the other guys that wanted to confront him, and Hall kind of looked like, you know what, the hell with it, I'm going after this guy. If you have not seen the video, well, let me just set it up by this. If it's illegal in the octagon, it's probably illegal in any other sport. And what he did would have been illegal in the octagon in MMA. Punch to the back of the head, a couple knees to the back of the head. I don't know if that's a 1-point deduction for the round or if it's an automatic disqualification. But and then you see Hall looking at the referee like, and if you can lip read, there's things that I can't say right now that he was basically saying to the referee. I guess he's happy that he was wearing a helmet, but Burrows, he had enough, and he took control of the situation as he saw fit.
I would expect he will be in detention for quite some time. This one should be worse than the Brad Marchand 5-game suspension. And your buddy Brad going to get back on the ice. He is eligible to return and will be in the lineup.
And, you know, it's funny because you see Brad Marchand and you see some of the stuff where he seems like a guy that you might want to hang around with. Maybe you'd have a beer with. And, you know, at the All-Star game, he was having fun. And when he got tripped and he was making it look like, am I bleeding or something, trying to draw a double minor and doing the little swimming on the ice and making snow angels and that. He seems like a nice, happy-go-lucky guy. But he's also kind of a dirty, cheap, chippy player. The thing about him, though, he's not your typical guy who does this kind of stuff because he's really a very potent offensive threat. As a matter of fact, he will be joining Bergeron and Pasternak on his line with the Bruins again. He's averaging 1.32 points a game this season, 50 points in just 38 games. On a per-game scoring basis, that's actually number one in the NHL this year. If he was if he played all 54 games that they played up to this point, He might be leading the league in points scored. He can score goals. He can make assists. He's a quality player, but he's dirty.
He's so dirty, and he's been suspended now for 19 games in his career. Pretty close to $900,000 he has lost in game wages. He's been suspended for elbowing, low bridging, slew footing, clipping, spearing, slew footing again, roughing, and tripping. So a nice rap sheet for Brad Marchand.
And I believe before that he was also fined 3 times before they started getting suspensions to him.
He said, though, that he's a changed man. He said, I've tried for a while now to get away from that role, and I just can't seem to escape it. So,
how have you tried? What efforts have you made? I tried getting away from the role, but I saw the exposed head, and I had to throw my elbow there and throw a cheap shot and try to knock the guy out and put him on the IR. How is that trying?
I think it's like when you try to quit smoking and you're like, well, I'm just going to smoke three cigarettes at a time. So that way it's not, you know, like every 20 minutes. It's just three at a time.
So I'm just going to elbow one head per game and hopefully not get called for it? Is that trying?
I don't know.
I don't get it.
I'm trying. I'm not trying to defend it. I'm trying to understand it. And it's falling flat because it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, because it's BS.
That's true. BS. Crap. The Bruins, they renew their rivalry with the New York Rangers tonight.
In Philadelphia, they eat Brad Marchand's excuse there.
Yeah, exactly. They would. How about we move on?
Let's move on.
Let's do that. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey. And Frank, as the trade deadline looms, there are some names that are being bandied about, and I would like your thoughts on whether or not you think these guys are going to move. We will start with goaltenders, and we will start in Montreal with Carey Price, or in Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina with Cam Ward. Either of these guys on the move?
Well, I don't think Carey Price is on the move because I think Carey Price just demands, first off, his salary is $7 million a year. He makes an awful lot of money. And if they moved Carey Price, I don't know how they explain that to their fan base. Because they've basically been telling people for years and years, Carey Price and anything we put on the ice is a potential Stanley Cup winning combination. So how do you move him? I don't see that happening. I think they're in for the long haul with Carey Price. And Carey Price just recently came out and said, I still believe in this team, the organization, and what they're doing. They have a path. We just have to follow it and kind of stay the course. Cam Ward, on the other hand, I think Cam Ward is a viable option for somebody out there. I think he really is a good goalie. He's kind of won the starting goaltending job in Carolina, although they brought Scott Darling in for that. Makes a lot less money at $3.1 million, but he is a little bit older, but for a team looking for somebody right now to shore up and maybe have that one missing piece, I think Cam Ward could possibly be moved. I just don't know if Carolina wants to move him because I don't know what they're going to do for goaltending if they do get rid of him, because Scott Darling has kind of been a bust for him this year.
He has been a bust. Both of these guys are unrestricted free agents, and you would have to think that Montreal, if they're not going to deal him, believes that they can re-sign Carey Price. He has recently said, as you said, that he believes in the organization. But you wonder about a guy like Cam Ward, and you wonder if at 33 – do the Hurricanes believe that they can get three more years out of him? Do they believe that Scott Darling just had a hiccup this year and is going to be the goaltender of the future? And do they feel like, you know, with Cam Ward, maybe he's going to go somewhere else and maybe they can retain him in the offseason?
Yeah, and that's a possibility. But I would think that if in those scenarios, I would think that Canadians would have a better chance, even if they did move him, of Carey Price coming back to Montreal than Cam Ward coming back to Carolina. I don't know that Cam Ward sees much there that convinces him that this is a Stanley Cup contending team or something like that. There is some young talent there. I think they've actually underachieved a little bit this year with some of the talent they have. But and again, if you're going into a situation, they didn't believe in you this year going into it. They didn't really even make it an open goaltender competition. You're basically getting opportunities right now because the other goalie has just fallen flat on his face. Is that somebody that you want to commit back to?
Yeah, it's more as if Scott Darling has worked his way out of the lineup more than Cam Ward has worked his way in. New York Rangers have a decision to make on Rick Nash. His name has been all over the trade rumors. He submitted his list of teams that he could be traded to. The Rangers are 25-23-5. 55 points, 3 points out of the second wild card. Through 53 games, he has 15 goals, 10 assists, and 25 points, minus five.
Yeah, and Rick Nash is an interesting player out there because he did give them that list. And we don't know who they are, but there's a lot of teams right now and a lot of articles out there about where might Rick Nash go. I know the Hockey News earlier today printed a story about Rick Nash and where he might end up with five different possible teams. I could see Rick Nash moving someplace. It seems like the Rangers are kind of starting to say, you know what, we're a good team, but we're not really a playoff team. Maybe sometimes less is more and build for the future down the road and everything. I could easily see Rick Nash going. I just don't know exactly where that is because I don't know the teams that he told him that he absolutely wouldn't go to. Could he be a missing piece for somebody? Yeah, but it's not going to come at a real cheap price.
It's not going to come at a cheap price, but he also is an unrestricted free agent. $4.5 million this year, a $3.5 million cap hit. There has been some rumors perhaps he could go back to Columbus, that would be a place that he would be welcome back. Pittsburgh has also been rumored as a place that he could land, and Dallas.
Yeah, and those are three of the teams. I've also seen the Kings and the Ducks on a list that I looked at earlier today. So would he fit in there? Yeah, he might fit in at any one of those teams. Pittsburgh could use something. I'm not sure that offense is what they need because they have a great offense. But as far as Columbus goes, I think Columbus could use some punch right now because they are really struggling.
So I just want to clarify that that is an $8.2 million base salary, a 7.8 cap hit. Those numbers that I gave were for our next guy, Mark Stone in Ottawa. Ottawa going nowhere. Mark Stone has been injured. He's getting ready to come back. We could see him maybe this weekend, maybe next weekend off of IR. Mark Stone recently saying that he wants to stay with the Senators long term and be a part of the solution. Is he part of the solution, or is he more valuable being shipped out of town?
You know, I don't know. I mean, if I'm the Ottawa Senators and if I'm their fan base, I like somebody saying they want to stay here because Erik Karlsson hasn't said that he wants to stay here. Remember, this team made the playoffs last year, and they made a deep run in the playoffs, and they still didn't necessarily sell out all their playoff games because the fan base is so infuriated right now with the ownership and the management and the things that they're doing. So if you have a guy who actually wants to stay and he's a quality player and you think he's worth the salary and everything, then maybe you do keep him around just because of that. Because right now, I don't see a bunch of free agents saying Ottawa's something on my list or whatever. This is a team that's in disarray right now, and they're in disarray because of their front office. If a guy wants to stay there, I would try to keep him there.
The Detroit Red Wings are out of consideration. They have all sorts of decisions to make, Frank. They have a number of players that have been bandied about. Andreas Anastasiou, he has been a guy that weren't even sure they were going to get back this year. He could be gone. Gustav Nyquist could be gone. Tomas Tatar could be gone. And Mike Green. So if you're the Detroit Red Wings and you've got those four guys, do you want to keep them? Do you want to get rid of them? What are the Detroit Red Wings going
to
do?
If I'm the Detroit Red Wings, I am listening to every offer that anybody makes me on anybody, because how this team is as bad as they are and yet still up against the salary cap is absolutely mind-boggling and mind-blowing. And that's without talking about Mrazek, their backup goaltender, who's in town, and there's a lot of talk about him moving someplace or going someplace else. So if I'm Detroit, again, I'm looking at any offer because they've got to dump some salary. They've got to get rid of some guys and bring in somebody young, bring in somebody again. They had that streak of 25 years of going to the playoffs. They don't look anywhere near like a playoff team, let alone a Stanley Cup contending team right now. Anything that they can get rid of, addition truly is addition by subtraction in Detroit's case, in my opinion. Get rid of the salaries, get what you can, get draft picks. They almost have to look at it kind of in some ways like an expansion team normally does or something like that and build for the future, because right now the future is not bright for Detroit because they have completely handcuffed themselves with their salary cap situation.
Yeah, Athanasiou is an unrestricted free agent, as is Mike Green.
Green is the one that we hear everybody talking about, but Athanasiou, we talked about him before the season started and the contract things with him and everything. He's a good young player, and he's got some speed. He's got a nice shot. He might be a nice addition and a future piece for some team that you could get right now before his value goes even up more.
And he's just 22 years old, made $1.387 million last year. And the guys that have a little bit heavier contract, when you think about Nyquist, he's still under contract for next year. And Tomas Tatar, he's got 3 years left on his deal at 5.5 for the next two, and then it drops to 3.2. But the salary cap hit still remains the same. So you still have to pay that 5.3 against the cap, even though you're only going to pay him 3.2. So he's a guy that probably makes a lot more money than he should.
Yeah, and again, that's why I say if I'm Detroit, I'm listening to any offer out there. The problem is, in my opinion, when it comes to Detroit, Tatar and Nyquist are the guys that you probably want to get rid of the most because of, like you mentioned, the salary cap hits they take, and maybe they're not as good as they once were, but they're also the players that might be the hardest to get rid of because of the salaries they make. Green and Athanasiou are guys that I would think would be a lot easier to move and a lot more, you know, enticing to other teams out there making offers.
And certainly rentals on those guys that you could try to see whether or not you want to bring them back. Well, we told you we had those tickets for Sunday, and we do, against Philadelphia. We're going to give those away right now. And in honor of Jonathan Marchessault's 19th goal last night, caller number 19, you've got tickets to the Golden Knights and the Philadelphia Flyers, 702-876-1340. That's 702-876-1340. When we come back, Frank and I are going to look at a shutout of a lifetime that happened a few years ago. It's the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey. Welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Congratulations to Mark winning those tickets against the Flyers. He'll be going to that game on Sunday. Just a little clarification. The Chance Bobblehead Night is going to be on the 19th versus the Ducks. There was some confusion, part of that laid out by me, who I believe I said that it was going to be on Sunday the 11th. So I was incorrect when I said that. It is confirmed. It is the 19th against the Anaheim Ducks. So sorry if there's any confusion about that.
So we will be duck hunting with Chance.
Yes, duck hunting with Chance. Lizards love the taste of duck, as do I. But Frank, I am led to believe that today, many years ago, marks the anniversary of a goaltender's shutout of a lifetime.
Oh, yeah. It actually wasn't today. It was actually January 23rd of 1944. But they're shutouts and then they're shutouts. How about a shutout where the team wins 15-0? The goaltender who got the shutout was Connor Dean of the Detroit Red Wings, but that's not the story here. He only faced 9 shots the entire game. The other goaltender was Ken McCauley. Now, Ken McCauley was playing for the 42-43 New York Rangers, a team that was decimated by players going off to war. So they basically didn't have anybody. McCauley's nickname was Tubby. Well, Tubby faced 58 shots that game. 15 of them got by him. However, it's not all bad. First off, Tubby, well, that's a bad name, and that was a bad loss. But the his goaltending backup had an even worse name, or at least nickname. The goaltending backup's name was Brusinski, and the crowd used to say, "With Brusinski, you put it in ski."
Wow.
And by the way, Ken McCauley, not everything a loss for his hockey career. He did make it to the Alberta Sports Hall of Fame. So a bad year there and a bad night there, but 15-0, a terrible shutout, but he bounced back.
That is a save percentage, Frank, of 741.
Great batting average, not such a good save percentage.
No, not such. Is that a good kill percentage in volleyball? 741?
I'd have to look that up. You probably know more than
you know who would know. T.C. Martin, the doctor, is next.
He don't know.
You don't know. Yeah, he doesn't know.
You'd know.